we bring you our every second Monday session with the team from Africa Check.
Azania Mosaka on 702.
So every second Monday, we rely on you as well as other sources who reach out to Africa Check to bring us claims that have been made in the public arena for them to further interrogate and research so that we know and we're able to distinguish between what is truth and what is not. And today we're joined in studio by Kaylee Clifford, who is a researcher at Africa Check, as well as Naftali Khumalo, a fellow researcher there as well. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thank you. So we've got three stories today, but two of them are pretty similar to each other because it's like a history check, because, you know, as time goes on, people like to go back and almost to suit the present moment will use or revise or even make up things about historical details to suit the present moment. And we'll get to those in a moment. But one thing that you've also put together as a service to our society is this issue of fake job ads. They're becoming more and more common, especially with our use of social media. What have you picked up about this, Naftali?
About
the fake job ads.
So that's actually me.
Ah, okay.
And we do plenty of these fake job ads at Africa Check. We've debunked quite a few through our fact-checking program with Facebook, not just in South Africa, but also in Kenya and Nigeria, where we have offices as well. And there seems to be many of them doing the rounds for jobs at banks, supermarkets, even government institutions.
Yeah.
And they kind of play on people's vulnerabilities because, you know, some people might look at these job ads and think, well, this is obviously fake.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we have an unemployment problem and some people are quite desperate for work. So
yes,
there are people that fall for these scams. So we've put together a sort of a toolkit. It's five red flags to watch out for, and that can help you avoid falling victim to these job scams.
So these are specifically found on social media?
They are. And it's just things that we've picked up from having debunked so many of them.
Okay, sure. So there's a pattern.
There is, yes. And you'll see you can sort of pick them out as we go on.
Yeah.
But the first is that the link doesn't take you to the company's official website or to a reputable recruitment agency. For example, there's one particular Facebook page that's called Jobs, Learnership and Bursary. And they've posted adverts for jobs at Netcare, Transnet, the South African Police Service, and more recently ABSA.
Yes.
And we found all of them to be fake.
What's the end game there? Because, you click through and then?
Yeah, so I mean, it's always
tough
to speak for people's motives. But yeah, one thing is that it's perhaps a traffic thing. So when you're redirected to a page where there are adverts, then you perhaps get money from
advertisers.
From that advertising.
Yeah.
But as we go on, you'll see there are could be other motives as well, such as scamming people out of interview fees.
Mm.
But this particular one on this Facebook page was an advert for jobs at the Department of Transport.
Mm.
And it said that workers were needed to start urgently. But like you say, when you click on the link, then it takes you to a different page and there are adverts on that page. This particular one took you to a WordPress blog called Careers 23.
Okay.
You can see this might be a play on the real job site, Careers 24. And so
yes,
it's quite easy for people to fall into that trap.
Mm.
But we spoke to the department and a spokesperson confirmed that it was a scam.
Right.
So in this case, you know, you're much better off going to the actual Department of Transport website. And this goes for many companies. Many of the departments and companies we've spoken to say that they don't actually advertise vacancies on social media at all.
Mm.
And if there is a vacancy available, you should be able to find it on their official website.
And actually, that's why we're seeing more and more companies, especially SOEs, big organizations, publishing official statements, media statements to say this is not our recruitment ad. We've even flighted some of them here or had them included in bulletins, for instance. So one of the first warning signs that when you click on the link, it doesn't take you to the company's website or recruitment agency, it just takes you elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
All right.
Yeah.
So what's another sign to look out for?
So another one is if the advert contains any grammar or spelling errors. On this same Facebook page, there was an advert posted for jobs at Coca-Cola. And claims that Coke is calling for applications for shelf packers or general workers and cashiers. You don't need any experience and you'll be paid 6,200 rand a month. And you can get it easily by comment help.
What?
So this is an immediate red flag. Another example is an ABSA ad, and all the letter E's were actually pound signs, which is also another red flag. You're immediately suspicious of these kinds of things.
Okay.
And for that ABSA example, their real graduate program, the recruitment for that actually ended in June 2019. And again, all these details can be found on their actual website.
So when these are forwarded to you, you contact the actual organization to find out if this is their real ad.
Absolutely. We show them the advert. In some cases, they are completely aware that this advert exists and they already have statements out, as you said, to say that, you know, we're aware of these scams doing the rounds. Other times they are not, and they do so afterwards.
And another sign?
You have to pay money for an interview. So this is really important because this is now, you know, scamming people out of hard-earned money.
Yes, and we know how hard it is to look for work, the actively looking for work part of it, the taxi fare, the CVs, the internet cafes, all of that costs money.
Yeah, absolutely. So this example comes from Kenya, where a new factory was commissioned by Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta. And just a few days later, there was sort of this flood of fake job ads on Facebook saying that work was now available at this factory. But again, when you click on the link, it takes you to a Google form, and people were then told they should pay a non-refundable interview fee of 350 Kenyan shillings to an anonymous mobile money number. The factory later posted a warning on their official Facebook page to say that they never charge an interview fee.
Yes.
And again, this goes for most companies. You shouldn't really have to pay for an interview fee. That's incredibly suspicious.
So would that be traceable, the mobile money account?
Often not, which is sad because then there's no recourse for these individuals who are scammed out of their money. But yeah, like I say, this goes for any adverts that ask for anything to do with banking details, asking for payment upfront for administrative purposes.
Correct.
Or even for accommodation and uniforms and that kind of thing.
Okay. So that's sign number three, being asked to pay upfront. You have five all in all. What are the final two?
So the fourth one is the email address and the contact details don't link to the actual company.
Warning sign, yeah.
Exactly. So now you've seen a job you might want to apply for. How do you get in touch with the company? Is there an email address and does it belong to the actual company that's supposedly advertising this job? And then what about the other contact details? So is there a name of a particular person that you're supposed to get in touch with? What is their job title? It's these kinds of things.
Okay.
Most organizations will ask applicants to send their CV and covering letter to an official email address or even to someone dealing specifically with job applications. And often what we see with these job scams is there are odd ways of communicating. So you're asked to comment help on a post. You're asked to share a post or send a Facebook inbox. That's suspicious.
Yes, yeah. Very suspicious. And then lastly, you're asked to travel to a location that isn't the company's office.
Yes.
I mean, this should just have red flags.
This seems like an obvious one, but it's always best to be safe. And when you would like to travel for an interview, it's always best to make sure that the company actually exists and that it is at the location it claims to be at before we travel anywhere.
Yes, yes. I remember speaking to a serial killer. What was he? A psychologist, yes. And he was within the SAPS's team, you know, that investigated serial murder cases. And he was also saying that there have been successful serial killers in this country who lured women on this particular premise that they will be able to get them jobs, or this has to do with an interview or employment opportunities. Meet me at this particular place, then I will take you. You know, so we have to be not just losing money or losing identity, but even our own safety,
personal safety
comes into play. So I think those are really handy tips, five of those from Africa Check. Thank you so much, Kaylee.
Thank you.
Should we take a break, Garba? Then we come back. And then after this, we'll look at History Check, comments that were supposedly attributed to Samora Machel, and then also a quote by Steve Biko. Are these true? Because they've certainly done the rounds and have been used to justify a lot of race hate or racism within the country.
702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
20 minutes past two, and we're with the team from Africa Check, Kaylee Clifford and Naftali Khumalo, researchers at Africa Check, as we interrogate claims that do the rounds that have been made, particularly in the social media verse. And today we're having a history check because certain quotes have been attributed to iconic Africans. And are they true? Because they get used for particular motives to drive particular narratives in present day discourse. So let's take a look at one particular claim. Let's start with the Samora Machel one, a quote about white people can only be, what can we make of it? So when was this said and what is the quote?
So this thing has been going around for a while now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this meme with no reference, no source, that basically says, Samora Machel said, the day you hear whites speak of me in good terms, that day don't share your secrets with me because that means I would have betrayed you already.
Hmm.
So we're already suspicious of it because it has no source, no reference and no date.
Yeah.
But then it was
But
said,
it's attributed to Samora Machel.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. And then last year, I think it was, Floyd Shivambu said a similar quote in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have a clip of that.
Yes, we do, actually. We did cut that audio. So let's listen back to what happened in Parliament in 2018 in the National Assembly, words that were spoken by Floyd Shivambu.
Thank you very much. Honorable Shivambu, it's now
thank
your
you. Thank you very much, House Chair. You know, Samora Machel used to say that if you are applauded by white people, you must know something is wrong with you. So those who have been applauded by white people here, they must know that there's something wrong with them. But I want to talk about public debt, President.
There we go. And then, of course, he went into something else. But he went on to tweet it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Him and also the official EFF account.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's very difficult, you know, to prove a negative, to prove that somebody didn't say something. You know,
right.
It's very easy for me to come here and take a picture and say I was in Sandton, but then somebody else can say you were not in Sandton, and the burden of the proof is so much heavier.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So we reached out to Floyd and the EFF to try and get their source for this quote that they said Samora Machel always said. I mean, they haven't responded to us yet.
Yeah.
So instead, we spoke to a number of people who are very familiar with Samora Machel and his life.
Mm-hmm.
One of those was his biographers, Sarah.
Right, because I was wondering, how do you prove that someone didn't say something?
Yeah.
Right, so it is. So you went to his biographer.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And she told us that she'd never heard the quote before. In fact, she said it was, she thought it was wildly uncharacteristic
okay.
of Samora Machel.
Yeah.
And she can't think of a single instance in which he said this.
Mm. Why would it be uncharacteristic?
Because in her opinion, that like it's probably part of a disinformation campaign. Well, that's what she said. That's what she thought. But she also directed us to a number of other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the editor of the Mozambique News Agency,
mm-hmm.
Paul Favet. He also told us the same thing, but he was particularly adamant because he says it has no source and, of course, no reference. But then it's also in English. Samora Machel spoke a little bit of English, but he wasn't like that fluent in English, so much so that he could say a quote like this.
Right. Like, so his speeches were mostly in Portuguese.
In Portuguese, uh-huh. Yes, yes, indeed. So
okay.
A number of other people also confirmed that Machel didn't have that good of a grasp of English.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we also spoke to somebody who knew him personally. That would be his daughter,
right.
Josina Machel.
Yeah.
Took us a very long time to find her. But when we did actually find her, she told us that she's never heard of the quote.
Yeah.
And in fact, we'd be better suited if we went to the Samora Machel Documentation Center and asked the people there, because the Documentation Center it keeps a record of all Samora Machel's speeches and his writings and interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Machel Documentation Center, we spoke to Alves Gomez. He's also a veteran Mozambican journalist,
mm-hmm.
who's been covering Samora Machel since 1975. Actually, he covered hundreds of quotes, interviews, texts, press, TV interviews, and all of that. And he said that he never come across the quote.
Right.
Yeah.
And in the absence of the EFF saying where they got it from, where does this leave our declaration of whether this is true or not?
Well, aside from the EFF themselves,
yes.
and that meme attributing it to Samora Machel, we can't find anybody else who attributes the quote to him.
So nothing else online?
Nothing else.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing else. In fact, Alvarez Gomez also said he spoke to a number of people, including Justice Albie Sachs, mm-hmm. who was in exile in Mozambique for about 11 years during yes. Samora Machel's presidency. And he also said it's totally alien to the way Samora spoke and totally in conflict with many of his denunciations of people claiming to be patriots who used language like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating. So because we have all of these websites, we have now, you know, quotes and, you know, rather say something is from unknown than attributed to an icon like Samora Machel. Yes. I think that's the more responsible thing to do, that if you don't want to say these are your own thoughts, because you don't want to be accused of plagiarizing, you want to say those are your own thoughts, but then don't attribute them falsely to somebody else, whether they are a big figure or not. Mm. It's the more responsible thing to do, to just say source unknown.
Yeah. It's really sad because there are a number of quotes like this that are attributed to historical figures.
Yes.
Including some famous ones, maybe from Winston Churchill, that when you're 20, you care what people think. When you're 40, you don't care what people think. And when you're 60, you realize people aren't even thinking about you at all. That
he didn't say
quote.
That?
He never said that.
Not that I'd ever heard. It's the first time I hear this particular quote, by the way. At least now I know it. Not his. Not his. Yeah. And that's the thing. There are all these websites that offer you quotes from different people, Goodreads and all sorts of sites that you're going to come across online. Yeah. So how do we make sure that it's the real deal? Is it important to then know that the source, that the source is cited, this was said on X day, at this point, X occasion,
a date, a source, a reference, it's the same thing with the fake Steve Biko quote as well.
Yeah, let's get into that as well, because this has to do with a quote attributed to Steve Biko about Nelson Mandela.
Yes. So this one is basically just, it's white text on a navy blue background that says, when asked about Mandela being in prison, Bantu Stephen Biko uttered these words as quoted, "Apartheid doesn't keep you alive unless it's going to use you later." Mm. So, like you said, there's already those three red flags, major red flags. There is no date for the quote. There is no source for the quote. And even worse, there is no indication of who asked him this question, who was interviewing him, you know. So also in this case, we had to reach out to people who are familiar with Steve Biko. So the Steve Biko Foundation, there is a historian by the name of Thando Sipuwe. He told us that the quote is fake. It doesn't appear in any of Steve Biko's work or speeches or writings. And in fact, the only time he mentions Nelson Mandela in the book, I Write What I Like, he's saying that people like Mandela, Sobukwe, Katrada, and MD Naidu, and many others will always have a place in honor of honor in our minds as the true leaders of our people.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's the only time he mentions Nelson Mandela.
Yes, that's the only time that he ever written mentions Nelson Mandela, which is why it was important for whoever is spreading this, at least give us a date, an interview source for this.
Yes, you know. But also the timing gives us an indication, doesn't it? Because the Rivonia trial happened, what, in the mid-60s?
Yes.
And Steve Biko was tortured and killed in 1977.
Yes.
So in that more than a decade era, you had a lot of political prisoners there. There was a lot of uncertainty. The apartheid government stronghold was incredibly powerful.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
Biko
in the end of the 80s.
Yeah.
It was particularly entrenched at the time.
Steve Biko himself was also arrested and detained a number of times.
Yeah.
He was, I think, in high school around that time, around the time of the Rivonia trial. And there are stories of how he was also detained. So, one of the people we spoke to is Dr. Ian McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lecturer at the University of Pretoria's Historical and Heritage Studies Department. And he told us that it would put an unrealistic prescience of judgment on Steve Biko, because he would have to know that Mandela survived prison. He had no way of knowing that at the time.
Yes.
Like you said, it was particularly a dark time. So when people went to prison, the assumption was that they would die there or they wouldn't even survive that. So, if we're saying that he knew that apartheid doesn't keep you alive unless it's going to use you later, how would we know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. So that kind of clarifies that. And he did write prolifically, which is great that there's such a great record of his speeches and his thoughts, because he wrote them and they are in the possession of his foundation. Wow, these are really interesting. History checks. Can we do more of these? We do more history checks, considering how in present day it can get manipulated and skewed, and, you know, yes, revisionism, and who told history, then the lion doesn't tell the story of the antelope, and so on and so on.
Yes.
So it's important that we go back to moments and give a sense of accuracy to them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. That was two researchers from AfricaCheck, africacheck.org. That is the website if you want to submit a claim. We even take a closer look at some of the articles that they have shared, not just this, the claims that we've handled today, but previous ones that we've looked at on the show. And if you come across any, you can email me, azania@702.co.za. We'll forward it on to them, or you contact AfricaCheck directly. That was Kaylee Clifford, as well as Naftali Kumalo.